In this study, you can see it here. So I didn't write it alone. So I wrote together with some of the people who are also in the call with Mirka and Tommy and with our collaborators from University of Pennsylvania. And the title of the study is here. And maybe before we move to the understanding actually what we did there, I guess it's better firstly talk about the codebook design because it will be nice to give brief introductions actually what does it mean even. So it is mainly about the qualitative data. So what does it mean is that if you collect the data in the textual format, for example, if in the interviews or if you collect the open-ended questions, so generally you end up with a long list of the data. And what you do in this qualitative data analysis method is that you start with collecting it, then you just try to group them into under some themes, and after that you develop some codes, and then you start coding. And in the practice, it looks like something like this. For example, those were the codes that this person coded, let's say. And what you do is that actually, basically, you go one by one, each line, you just select it, and you just try to code each and every sentences. So as you can see, that's of course one of the most efficient way to do this. But as you can expect, it generally takes time, and it takes time from, let's say, in two processes mainly. The first one is the code development, because when you have the data, you generally don't know that actually from which how you what kind of codes you are going to use. And the second part is that how you are going to code the entire data. So in this paper, we particularly focused on that. How we can use the ChatGPT or maybe the similar kind of LLMs, but in our study, we only use the ChatGPT to decide actually whether we can generate these codes without not spending too much time. So that was our aim. And why we did this actually, because there are some challenges also mentioned in the literature. There are a few problems. The first one is that it's pretty much difficult that you achieve the consistency across different languages. So, for example, if you collect the data in different languages, then it's pretty much hard for the authors to find the consistent codes analysis. And generally, we need a we have we need a cultural and linguistic accuracy in this theme identifications. And that when I refer to the theme, you can think about all these codes that I'm telling. And of course, we generally have the limited access to the fluent coders. And that maybe just to come back, I forgot to mention, but in this study, we only used two languages, Finnish and Azerbaijani. And as you can see, those are one of the words, one of the languages that poorly representative in this LLMs, this large language models. So actually, our aim, if we did this study with the English, highly possibly we could have get a little bit different results. But we want to understand actually what happens if you only focus on this, let's say, underrepresentative or poorly sourced language on these LLMs. And here again, we particularly focused on how we can use these large language models. And our tool here was the ChatGPT, because that's one of the most famous ones. So we want to test its performance. And there are already previous studies that they use the ChatGPT for this kind of analysis. So they try to check whether you can use the ChatGPT to do the qualitative data analysis. I put all these references later on in the slide. So if you want, you can also check those papers as well. For example, in this paper, they just tried to use the ChatGPT whether it can assist the multilingual data analysis. And there they were just trying to understand whether ChatGPT can give the themes or not. And after in that study, oh, sorry. In this study, they want to achieve a little bit more, and they want to see that whether they can get the scalable and automated support for the coding itself. So not only the generating some themes or code, but the coding the entire data set. And in all of these studies, actually, they have some kind of successes, but there are also some kind of errors as well. And in this study, sorry, I don't know why I keep clicking that. But in this study, they want to In the third one, they want to see that whether ChatGPT can help eliminate the barriers between the linguistic and cultural gaps. So those are the few recent studies that happened where they use the ChatGPT for the qualitative data analysis. But in this study, we had a two main aim. The first one is to assess the ChatGPT's effectiveness in generating codebooks for multilingual qualitative data. So this generating codebook for the multilingual qualitative data is our key focus. And then we just want to explore its potential to support the consistent semantic analysis. So we didn't only want to check ChatGPT can give the code, but we want to things we want to check actually how much it was consistent with that. A few more notes about a little bit more detail about this previous or current existence. Literature, as I told you, the people already used it for some kind of preliminary coding, and they also used some for some kind of translation as well. And in these translations, they were trying to see whether there are some kind of patterns in this qualitative data. And that some of them, they went beyond and they used the automated process of qualitative data coding. And in some perspective, they only focused on the cultural problems when you use the underrepresented language in the LLM settings. And how our research looked like is that we initially start with the data collection. And for this, we worked with the teachers from Azerbaijan and Finland. And most of or all of these teachers were the teachers who are working at the school, so K-12 teachers. And in this, basically, we organized a scenario-based workshop. What does it mean is that actually we gave the five different scenarios in a row to all the teachers. And in the scenario, after giving the scenario, we asked the teachers that actually what they would do. And all of these scenarios were related to how they can integrate the learning analytics in classroom. So I can just tell one short example about this. Let's say the first scenario was exactly like this. Imagine that you are using the online educational platform and you want to, and your students did some kind of assignments in the back end, and you need to talk with the parent about the bad performance of the students. What would you do? So, like, we just stopped there, and the teachers were giving their answers. So, again, qualitative data. So we had the five scenarios and we collected them in the original language. So the Azerbaijani teachers spoke in Azerbaijan and Finnish ones spoke in Finnish. And the aim was that actually we want to make sure that they feel much more comfortable while giving the answers. And again, it was the structured discussion. So they were just discussing. And as a researcher, we were just guiding the entire workshop. And in total, we had 10 STEM teachers, five from each country, and we made sure that actually all the data was anonymous and we didn't have any issues from the skill perspective of the research. Once we had the data from both of these countries, what we did is that actually we got the data. So we have the data in Finnish, data in Azerbaijani, and what we did is that actually we translated them there into English language. So we had the Finnish, Azerbaijani in English, and Finnish in English. So we had the four set of the data set. Now we have the data set and we went to the ChatGPT and we started generating the code. So if you use the ChatGPT, you know that actually you generally interact the ChatGPT on the chatbot, like that you go and you make the conversation. But there's also another interface of the ChatGPT that you can actually set up the API and you can also communicate there as well. So we had the dilemma here as well, whether we need to go with the chatbot or with the API. But we ended up going with the chatbot version because at the end of the day, the research showed that there is no huge difference between the API and the chatbot version of the ChatGPT if you don't have the too long set of the qualitative data. And in our case, we didn't have too long. All of our data sets consist of around 20 pages. So we went with the chatbot version. And what we did is that actually we gave the prompt to the ChatGPT, and those are the prompts in English, in Azerbaijan, and Finnish. And the prompt was exactly like this: "Hi ChatGPT, I want to do a qualitative data analysis of the attached document. Please provide a detailed codebook with constructs, definitions, and examples." The constructs is that the codes. So we asked the ChatGPT to give the code and the definition of the code and example. And why did we do this? Is that we want to make sure that ChatGPT just doesn't give something, but it really shows that actually it has the definition and can pull out the example from the data. And what we did is that actually we did the three iteration. So we took this prompt, we add the data there, and we asked this from ChatGPT three times. Why three times? Because again, the previous research shows that in order to get the consistent response from the LLMs, you need to put this data three times. We did the three iterations with five data segments. Five data segments means that actually we put each data into five sections so that ChatGPT can process what it gets, so it doesn't just hallucinate what we are giving. Because if you give too much data to ChatGPT, it doesn't give you qualitative responses. Then we had the two languages and their translate versions. So in general, we run six times. So we did the prompting six times. And after this, we did the social moderation analysis. And here, basically, the human reviewers went to the calls, and in these calls, they just reviewed the codes that they got from the initial code runs. And then we did a systematic assessment in this codebook similarity evaluation. And in the last, and to do this, we used this, let's say, arguments. And they were exactly in the Likert style. For example, so we were giving the response or the code, and the authors were giving the score from 1 to 5 from this five perspective. So they were saying actually how much clear it was, how much concrete it is, how objective it was. So from 1 to 5. As a result, after initial coding, we ended up having 477 codes, which is pretty much a lot. And we, after the social moderation analysis, we decided to use only 50 of them, which is only around 10.5%. And here in this table, you can see that actually what was the detailed percentage for each language. So for Azerbaijan, Finnish, and total. About the code quality, so we can say that actually in some cases, ChatGPT was quite good, efficient. And one of them, or like the first one, was the clarity. So ChatGPT was always consistent, giving you the clear. So it was always able to explain actually how it generated this code. And it also got very high rating from the objectivity perspective as well. But there were also that one thing, particularly one field that we found that it really needs some kind of improvement. And that was about the example sentences. So whenever ChatGPT was trying to generate the code and it tries to show the example from the data itself, then it was pulling out most of the time not the good example, let's say. And also, we also saw that there was also a difference between the native and translated data sets, and the translated data sets was always better. And of course, we can hypothesize this as well, because translated version was in English, and the English was much more representative compared to Azerbaijan or Finnish. So that's why it was better when we did this with the translated version. And then we also did the conceptual overlap. So we just want to make sure that actually what are the codes that actually occurred in all the data sets. And those were the main, not the main, like the codes that actually happen across all the data sets as well. So just to give some discussion about what we did is that, so as I told you, the quality in the English translations was a little bit more better compared to their Azerbaijan and Finnish version. And the overall clarity and objectivity of the results of the codes was quite sufficient. But there were some issues, particularly with the linguistic problems. And one of our actually co-author in this study was the linguistic background. And she mentioned also some of the issues related to this. So whenever you are this kind of studies, or if you want to use the ChatGPT, I guess it's better to consider particularly this linguistic background or cultural perspectives mainly. And what were the limitation is that the first one is that we didn't have the huge data, so we only have the data from the 10 teachers, around 20 pages of the data. So considering it is a little bit less, so it could be improved for the future notice of future reference. And you what could be the also another perspective is that the same study can be implemented by using other languages as well, because now we only focus on the Finnish and Azerbaijani, and their grammatical structure is pretty much similar. So it would be nice to see that actually, for example, how it performs in the Vietnamese, or I don't know, in another language actually, which doesn't have the similar alphabet or grammatical structure. And another last point is that maybe it would be nice to consider some kind of ethical consideration. So that was the main papers that I want to talk today. But briefly, I also put some of the papers that I wrote, and I just tried to summarize them under three categories. So we wrote this paper with the educational technology umbrella, let's say, and those are the papers. So, and under artificial intelligence category, we have these papers published so far. And from the ethics perspective, we have that those papers that I wrote together with my co-authors. So those were the main papers. I just want to put there because I know that in this seminar, we also want to give a little bit background about ourselves. So if you want to hear a little bit more about them, you can always reach out to me. And those are the references that I used in this slide and also in these slides as well. Thanks so much.